Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand. From Vancouver to Halifax, Flin Flon to Estevan, he's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Welcome to the Rod Peterson Show. And we say hello to Canadian sports fans around the world. Welcome to the program on this Wednesday, November the 27th. Coming to you from the bunker out here in Western Canada. Welcome to Canada's only morning sports coffee table show. I'm your host, Rod Peterson, as the sign says. He's the co-host, Darren DuPont. Good morning, Dupes.
Good morning.
We talk about famous teams, and maybe one day we'll be a famous team. We're a team right now, just not a famous one. Sort of like Stabler and Benson.
I need a picture.
Benson and Hedges?
No.
Oh.
The cigarettes. Where's the photo, boys?
I didn't know that their names.
Is this Law and Order?
Yes, yes, it's Law and Order. Yeah, it's okay. Elliot Stabler and Olivia Benson.
I like it.
Wow, and we're off to a great start. Welcome, everybody. But, you know, here is DuPont making me look us all so shabby. I'm wearing my Hanley Sabres football hoodie, bunny hug.
Sharp.
If you will, I love it. I just figured I'm in the closet thinking, you know what? I need to start wearing some of these hoodies that all these teams are giving me as I travel around. And tomorrow I'm going to be in Moose Jaw talking to the Peacock High School football team. I got to start wearing this stuff. They're giving it to me. And then you show up like you're going to a wedding. Or do you have a job interview today?
No.
Is there something you want to tell us?
Just doing business. Just doing business. In the business of doing business.
In the business of doing business.
But it's funny, for the first however many weeks of this show, I kind of wore. This is what I wear a lot of times, you know, doing
and
games.
And we've dragged you down.
And then I've just gotten more and more comfortable, and I start wearing, you know, a little bit of my, you know, evening wear, my weekend wear, I guess.
Something more comfortable.
Something more comfortable. Where is this going? And now I put a suit back on, and now it's a problem. It's the same thing.
Getting ribbed.
It's like this show. I started, and I had the beard, which I didn't have, really, until this summer, and all of a sudden, everybody doesn't know me without it.
It is a Hanley Sabres hoodie. Yes, Kyle Halverson, that's what I'm wearing today. We got breaking news. Breaking news as we go to air. The Edmonton Eskimos have fired head coach Jason Maas. I have the Canadian press alert up in front of me. The CFL team finished at 8-10 this year. The Eskimos made the playoffs as a crossover team but dropped a 36-16 decision to Hamilton in the Eastern Division Final. Maas posted a 39-33 regular season record over four seasons as coach in Edmonton. There's no immediate word on a replacement. So breaking news as we go to air this morning across the country. The Edmonton Eskimos are looking for a coach. We got a lot of topics to get to today. The Bill Peters thing, emerging story or evolving story, I guess. He's still the coach of the Calgary Flames for now. Shame on Sportsnet for reporting yesterday he'd been fired. Double shame on you guys. This whole world of you want to be first rather than right. Right? And they got caught on it. Nobody's holding their feet to the fire on that. That's a pretty big gaffe. Rich Sutter will be with us, 13-year NHL veteran, now a Columbus Blue Jackets pro scout. Michael Landsberg from TSN's, what's the name of that show? First Up, Clark? First Up on TSN 1050. And Don Unamba will be with us of the Edmonton Eskimos. That's in hour two. He'll be talking about the firing of his coach, among other things. Jim Hobson will be in the bunker with us in hour two as well. And Global Regina's Taylor Shire, our director of officiating, will be joining us here in the bunker, Taylor Shire. But I told Jared Dumba that we would be bringing him on once hockey season started, and it is here. How you doing, Jared? Good morning. Welcome to the bunker.
Well, thanks. I like the digs.
It's pretty cool, isn't
it? Good to be here. Yeah, yeah.
As you noticed very early on, it's it's like a locker room in here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You can notice that right away. I could hang out here all day.
Good. Well, you're welcome to. For the viewers that don't know who Jared Dumba is, it just said on the lower third, as they say, former pro hockey player and Regina Pats color commentator. We only have 2 hours, so can you name the teams you played with? Fast.
Saskatoon Blades, Notre Dame Hounds, and then in pro, Oklahoma City, Tulsa Oilers, Indianapolis Ice, Austin Ice Bats, and the Flint Generals.
Good.
There we go.
Got a durable suitcase.
No CTE.
Not just a hat rack.
No CTE there. You can rattle them all off like nothing. So these are the topics. So I had them all written down here. I mentioned Bill Peters has not been fired. The investigation ongoing for the Flames. He won't be on the bench tonight as the Flames were at Buffalo. Babcock fallout. I can't believe the media that's tap dancing on Babcock's grave right now. I really can't. I'm not going to name them specifically, but I find it a little funny that a week earlier, they'd all been, hey, how's it going, Babs, in the media room before Leafs games, and now they've all turned on him. Funny how that's changed. Mm-hmm. The Bomber Parade, got that photo ready, Clark. Chris Streveler, they're comparing him to Alex Ovechkin. People are saying, is Chris Streveler the Alex Ovechkin of this championship run for the, hey, I like it.
Love it.
The Grey Cup Parade, I thought, was quite Winnipeg-ish, and what I mean by that is everybody running around half-clothed. And various states of inebriation. Yeah. And by the way, good for you. That's the way you should do it. It's funny watching it. They're having so much fun over there. And not just the players, the fans too.
Oh, yeah. They are having a great time. And now, you know, we talked about yesterday all of the complaints about, well, what time's the parade at? You know, you waited 29 years and now you're complaining about the time of the parade.
That's hilarious.
It's not coming down your street in front of your house or whatever.
That's great.
But they've now planned all these Winnipeg Bomber weekend events and parties this coming weekend. So there's all these different Grey Cup celebrations happening this weekend. They're having their own mini Grey Cup festival. So that's pretty cool.
It's all awesome. I say bravo, Winnipeg. I just, hats off to you guys. Just things that we have here. One of our sponsors, Ian Crosby from Sask Snow Beef. That is the special Wagyu beef, superior marbling in taste. Try it for yourself, Sask Snow Beef. You can have it, get it at Crave Kitchen and Bar. He said, Ian tweeted us and said, what is with all the Sask dub teams? If it wasn't for PA, it's an absolute abomination. Before we get out of the rollout, Jared, I want your thoughts on what the hell's going on with Saskatchewan dub teams, why they're struggling so much. Fair? I know you have some thoughts on that.
Yeah, yeah.
And then the CFL coaching / quarterback carousel. It just got a massive swing today with the firing of Jason Maas. And as a matter of fact, I have a note written here that will Mike O'Shea be the first domino? Well, I wrote it an hour ago. It's already old. Jason Maas is the first domino. Well, I guess Devon Claybrooks and Rick Campbell are the other dominoes to fall, but now Jason Maas. So let's get into that now because football, for the most part, is where our bread is buttered. And then we'll get to the Babcock-Peters thing because Jared has strong thoughts on that. But I think we all saw the firing of Jason Maas coming, did we not?
I think so. I think we talked about that towards the end of the season. And even the insiders and analysts across the country that we have on this show, we all asked them, what would it take for Jason Maas to keep his job? And it seemed like nothing short of at the very least, getting to the Grey Cup. But most likely he would have had to win the Grey Cup to keep his job. He just fell out of favor. And, you know, as a guy who's hasn't been able to deliver that in Edmonton, we kind of expected him to be gone. But I don't think we expect him to go away. I think he's going to resurface quite quickly. He's still a valuable commodity in the CFL.
I think he's a very valuable commodity. And I think what people need to realize here, that just because you're fired as a coach, your career isn't over. You would hope that somewhere along the line in each stop, you'd learn some things. I've seen a lot of coaches been fired. I've been fired. You would hope that your career's not over. You think that you've learned along the way. And that would probably be the case for Jason Maas because that is his first head coaching job. I think he's got a lot to offer, but I think what befell Jason Maas in Edmonton from talking with Edmonton football people is that he got the talent. The general manager is the guy that buys the groceries. We've said it a million times. The coach makes the meal.
Yeah.
Brock Sunderland bought succulent groceries. And Maas burnt it.
Unfortunately. But
didn't taste too good.
No, and that comes back to, you know, knowing where your skill set is. And for me and Jason Maas, it's unfortunately, I'm not in these rooms, these meetings, so I can't make a complete accurate assessment, but I just don't think that maybe a head coach is his wheelhouse in terms of managing everybody, controlling all of the personalities, and dealing with all of those things. We talk about him blowing up on the sidelines and kicking water bottles and coolers and that kind of stuff, and then his team ends up being one of the most penalized teams, and they take on the persona of the coach. But as an offensive coordinator and a quarterback coach, there's no questioning his ability to get...
He knows the game.
Of course he does. Just go back and go through all of the stats from the CFL over the last number of years. All the way back to 2012 when he was the quarterback's coach in Toronto and working with Ricky Ray. Ricky Ray was a top quarterback in this league. Easily top three or four every single year and significantly ahead of everybody else. Everybody behind him. And then you go to Trevor Harris in Ottawa when he became the offensive coordinator. And then Trevor Harris in Edmonton. Every single year, he's produced one of the top quarterbacks, top three in the league. So he can get the job done. But it's as a quarterback's coach or as an offensive coordinator that I see his value.
Well, and maybe if he learns to tame those sideline outbursts, we will see him as a head coach one day because they all want to be a head coach. That's they want to call the shots. Yeah. And frankly, that's where the highest paycheck is too. So we were kicking around in our morning meeting what would be a good poll question today. And we didn't really settle on anything that we really love.
Yeah.
So I'd like to put it to the viewers. What would be a good poll question regarding Jason Moss? Our business development manager, Totter, he had probably the best question, but it cut right to the heart. It was a little too, what should I say?
Tylerish.
Too Tylerish. So we had things like, where does Jason Moss end up next? BC, Saskatchewan, Ottawa, or somewhere else? Or what were the other ones?
Will he be a coach again?
Stuff like that. Yeah. Give us a poll question that we can put up, please. Let's have a poll for the poll. As our friend Mike Lee watching from Maui always loves when we do that. So moving on, this is where I want to move Jared in as the hockey guy. Although he dabbles in football as a fan, he's a hockey guy. So I relate it, Moz, to Babcock as we're talking about firing coaches. And by the way, I'm still not convinced that Bill Peters is going to be fired. I'm not, for reasons we can get into later. But Babcock was, and Moz was. And we have different thoughts. Like I said to Clark yesterday, I tried to get you in yesterday, Jared, and you had something going on. Right? You couldn't get in yesterday? Is that correct?
I didn't see the text if it was.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, it was last minute. It's all good.
Last minute, yeah.
But I said to Clark, get Jared on because he's got a litany of thoughts on Mike Babcock. So the world's seen mine going back. And I just want to clarify, by the way, in no way was I condoning what Mike Babcock did and has done. I'm not. My points were that if you think he's the only guy, you're sorely mistaken. And two, I'd like to see him get a chance to change his ways and coach again because I like Babs. Those were my points, not condoning what he did. Probably did deserve to be fired. You have your thoughts, Jerry. And they go back a long ways, actually.
Yeah, I mean, when you say it like that, it makes it sound like I've decidedly, I hate Babcock or something.
Well,
I
don't sound like
I
that.
I don't hate him. I never said that. I said on Twitter, he's done a lot of great things. He's done great things for some of my friends, local buddies that he's still in contact with that absolutely love him. He's done some great things for mental health. So you can't, you can't forget about those things, but... Personally, he said things about because he was beaten and it was
was in the newspaper.
Yeah, and he was an easy coach to beat because some coaches are really good with X's and O's, and it's one thing to know the X's and O's and be able to explain it to the guys and practice it. It's another thing to be on the bench, recognize what the other team is doing, and on the fly go, oh, they're doing this. Okay, we're going to switch to this system. Hey, boys, we've all practiced it. Switch to this system right now. And then the other coach can't pick it up. If the other coach can't pick that up, he's not actually in the game. So you can know what you're talking about. But if you can't recognize stuff on the fly, that's two totally different coaches. And I think that's why, people say, well, Babcock won a Stanley Cup. How didn't he win four or five with that team? He won the Olympic gold medal. Do you think you're coaching Sidney Crosby and Getzlaff and all these guys? You're standing up there. You're just a figurehead, I've heard a lot of really, I'm not going to say anything because they're not my stories and I'm not going to throw anybody under the bus. I've heard some absolutely god-awful, terrible things that the guy's done.
Is he the only coach that you've heard bad things
about? No, these are above and beyond. These are like really... no other coach would do this. I've had coaches that I hated. Doug Sauter, I hated. I also loved him. I knew that what he was doing, I hated what he was doing, but he was doing it and he was getting the best out of us and we'd be pissed off at him and so we'd play better. Stuff like that. But he never did anything. My grandpa died. He was the first guy to have me in the room crying with me, feeling bad for me. He's the guy's got a heart. There's a difference between that guy and somebody who is very helpful to everybody when the cameras are on I would love to know what Babs does when there's going to be no media coverage, when it's just behind closed doors to, you know, somebody that works for him that has that can't do anything for him, you know, or somebody that he meets on the street. How does he treat those people? I don't know. Maybe he's a great guy. I can't say. But I would like to know that to get a better shape, because I've heard a lot of really bad stuff and I've heard a lot of really good stuff.
As you so, do, I mean, about everybody. And that's the thing. It's funny you bring up about what he does when the camera's not there. The Humboldt Broncos camp, that spring camp, he came in and coached it, and they didn't want any media there. Babs didn't want anybody to know that he was there. But I, of course, my friend's kids are in the camp.
I heard exactly the opposite of that from people that were running the camp. So
I've talked to those people too.
Yeah.
Oh, do you think that he wanted people to know he was there?
That's what I heard straight out of somebody's mouth.
Well, I got a message that Babs is really mad at me that I had reported that he was there. And I said, Babs has my number. He can call me if he's that upset. Oh, so okay. He can't be that upset. Okay. Listen, I talked to those Humboldt people too.
So I said, I'm not bringing out any stories. I'm not throwing anybody under the bus, but from certain people's mouths that were there running things, it wasn't such a good situation to have him around, and they made it clear that they didn't want him back, is what I was told. Now, I can't confer. I wasn't the one there. These are stories you hear. So that's why I say I'm not making a say. I don't hate Babs. I don't like the way he coaches, but I don't hate him.
But that's the difference.
So I like some of the things he's done, and I really can understand why people are upset at him for other things that I've heard he's done. But I don't. You know, I'd like to hear more about, you know, what he's actually like away from everybody. You're not going to know that type of stuff. So, I mean, I think we're all just chasing our tail. He sucks. Oh, he's the best. Oh, like, who cares?
Well, it comes down a little bit to, you know, what you were talking about. When you say that you hope he gets another opportunity to see if he's changed, because, you know, as I say, and I said this yesterday, we live in a different world than we did 10 years ago. We live in a different world than we did yesterday. So we should be allowed to make mistakes. Not saying that mistakes are good and should all be forgiven, but we should be allowed to grow and learn from our mistakes. And so for Mike Babcock, it's interesting because he's won everywhere and he hasn't been fired. So if you're winning and you're getting the results, and some players are being treated poorly and maybe aren't happy with you, but the world is telling you that you're successful. And the world is telling you that what you're doing works. Sure. So why would you change? So this is the first real opportunity where the world has stood up and said, Mike, what you're doing is not okay.
Yeah.
And you need to change, and we're not okay with it, and we're not okay with being recognized like this. So now he better go away, hopefully, and take all of his own advice, assess the situation, see it all, reflect, and realize, okay, maybe this doesn't work anymore, and I need to change. And if he does, I'd love to see him on another bench. If he doesn't want to change, then maybe the game's passed him by.
Exactly. That's exactly, you couldn't have said it any better. Let's see what he does from now on. Let's see what he's actually like. Is he going to, you know, if he continues to try and be that hard-ass coach, it's not the 80s. That worked in the 80s, 90s. Guys my age, I responded to that. I wouldn't know how to respond to these cerebral coaches. I don't know. I didn't grow up with that.
Right.
You needed a kick in the ass. The guys today, they didn't grow up with that. They grew up all pampered and, you know, they got to have an opinion and whatever they think, Matt. Okay, fine. You got to be able to coach that. If you can't, you're going to go kick those guys in the ass like Marner, and he's going to go, what just happened? I've never experienced that. So that doesn't work.
And it's a complete difference.
Whether
too.
It's right or wrong, it was right in the 80s. Now it's not right.
But you know this.
So you can't do
it. But that's what I said. That was what I was saying yesterday. They need the opportunity to change rather than be just fired and out of the game, because they got a lot to offer.
Which is why
I have a tough time with people saying that Mike Babcock's a horrible human being, because quite frankly, I reserve horrible human being status for really horrible human beings.
Yeah, but I'm a horrible human being to certain people that I've interacted with that I don't like. I'm an unbelievably amazing human being to certain people that I interacted with. Everybody is. You are. Everybody's good and everybody's bad. But let's see, like you said, you guys both said, we've all said now, let's see where does he go from here? Does he continue to go, wow, this is my way or the highway? I'm just going to be a hard ass because this is what I know. That's not going to work. He's going to be out right away. Is he going to change and go, okay, now I'm going to communicate with my players. I'm not going to be playing stupid mind games. I'm going to actually figure out how to communicate with these guys. If he can do that, I'll be the first one to go, holy man, this guy's smart.
He's interested in doing that or not. But Robin in Prince Albert says, does Babs even want to coach? 3 years left at $6 million per season. Well, not only do I have a lot of friends that are coaches, I've got a lot of friends who have been fired as coaches. And to a man, they all say, I don't want to be remembered this way.
Yeah.
They don't want that to be their last job. And I would suggest Babs is the same. Look, we got a break. As Lane has just written in and said, this show is on point. Yes, it is. We're going back and forth between CFL and hockey today and whatever else comes up. We'll be back in a moment. This has been the rollout for Flooring Superstores and our friends over there, the Dickin family, family-run business, Flooring Superstores in Regina. You're watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. And listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at Capital Ford Lincoln. With savings up to $19,000. And for a limited time, finance rates are as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Plus, most new vehicle purchases come with a free set of winter tires. And buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the greatest auto sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bus down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's greatest auto sale.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
Hi, I'm Joshua John Batista. I'm a staff radiation oncologist at the Allen Blair Cancer Center. CT simulators are essential for all modern radiation treatments. Before a patient can undergo the treatment planning process, the CT simulator is the first step. So it allows us to plan and deliver radiation treatments for thousands of patients.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Welcome back, everybody. Wednesday morning sports update just ahead of Michael Landsberg joining us live from Toronto. The Canadian Elite Basketball League and CBC Sports announced Tuesday a 3-year content partnership, making the public broadcaster the premier media partner of Canada's only First Division Pro Basketball League. CBC Sports will offer live streams of all 70 regular season CEBL games and its 5 playoff contests on the free CBC Gem streaming service at cbcsports.ca and the CBC Sports app. App for Apple and Android devices. CBC will also provide broadcast coverage of 7 regular season games and the CEBL Championship weekend in Edmonton. David Pastrnak recorded his second hat trick of the season, and the Eastern Conference leading Boston Bruins routed the Canadiens 8-1 at Bell Center last night. Kaapo Kähkönen picked up the win in his NHL debut. He made 32 saves as the Minnesota Wild beat the New Jersey Devils 3-2 last night. And Corey Crawford made 32 saves for Chicago's first shutout this season. Blackhawks beat Dallas 3-0. I watched that game, and Kirby Dach looked fantastic for the Blackhawks at number 77. And 2-time Pro Bowl right guard Brandon Brooks said pressure that forced him out of the Eagles game last Sunday. He's dealt with anxiety for several years, but has started 50 straight games, including the playoffs. He recently signed a 4-year, $54 million deal, and it's obviously weighed on his mind. That is your Wednesday morning sports update, brought to you by Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination. We have our director of officiating, Taylor Shire, in the bunker with us now, along with Jared Dumba, who's going to be one of our hockey analysts moving forward into the hockey season. But we're going to Toronto now. Michael Landsberg joins us from TSN 1050, the TSN icon, frankly, Canadian sports broadcasting icon. Good morning, Michael. How are you, sir?
You know, I'm good, Rod. Last week I was talking about the Philadelphia Eagles, and I kept calling their coach Rod Peterson. And then I went on the intercom to a producer, and I said, why am I saying Rod Peterson? And he goes to me, how the hell do I know why you're saying Rod Peterson? So yeah, this is your fault, man.
That's hilarious. Well, thank you for the pub, by the way. Checks in the mail.
Michael, it was unintentional.
Listen, Mike Babcock, the guys were saying You guys have been close, worked together on mental health efforts. Where are you on the firing of Mike Babcock and the fallout since?
Well, I was listening to your show for the last 15 minutes. And one thing that I think you have a little bit wrong, if I may, and even if you say I may not, I'm going to go ahead and say it. You know, you've been referencing his style of coaching and saying, you know, if he can learn to change, then maybe he'll get another job. He was not fired from the Maple Leafs because of how he treated players. He was fired for only one reason, and that was because the Leafs were struggling. And over the last year, they had been struggling. Now, you could directly correlate, perhaps, his treatment of players and his style of coaching to their lack of production. But this is not new. Like, Mike Babcock's been the same guy for 4.5 years. Why did he get fired almost exactly a week ago? And the answer is because the Leafs were on a point pace for 85 this season. So I don't think this is a statement from the organization saying, we don't like this style anymore. This was a statement saying, we don't like losing.
So how do you feel about the allegations that have come out since then? So you've clarified why he was like, obviously you saw that I said, I think it's highly unfair with the public opinion here. Where do you stand on it?
I stand out, you know, there's no one simple way to put that. And one of the things that I think we need to do as just folks is separate what you hear about a guy and from what you see from that guy. How does he treat you as opposed to how does he treat others, right? And you can't be exclusive to that. You can't say, well, you know, that guy's a mass murderer, but he's really nice to me. But you can make the statement, as I will with Mike Babcock, that I've never spoken about hockey with him. Our relationship has been totally either personal or in dealing with mental health. Every single thing that I've ever asked a favor from him to do, he's asked me for guidance in how he should go about dealing with mental health and what he can bring. He's been amazing. And that's not to say that anybody else's opinion is wrong. I'm judging him on how he treats me. As far as the Maple Leafs are concerned, what he was doing was not working. It seemed really clear to many of us, maybe all of us, that something was wrong with the Maple Leafs. And there was the sense that they were underperforming. And management certainly saw it that way. And if you have management that says, you know, we have the talent to win, but we're not winning, that's when the coach gets fired in almost every situation. You know, did I think that he communicated as well to his players as he did to me, for instance, the answer would be absolutely not. You know, I think that he falls into the category of old school. And old school, you know, in these days is not, hey, that's a guy from the past. It's saying he coaches the way guys coached 25, 30, 40 years ago. That is to say, I'm the boss. This is my room. That's my ice surface. And you do what I tell you to do. And I will do anything to get more out of you, even if it includes playing mind games.
Well, you know what, that way used to work. When I played, that's how I responded. That's how we all responded to, you know, the coach was the boss. You do what he says, even if it's wrong, everybody's doing the same thing. So you're going to be successful, you know, even if you think it's the wrong thing. Now that Babs is kind of, this is all done, you know, I'm frankly sick of hearing about it and talking about it. What do you think about the new guy coming in, Sheldon? How do you think, what's your initial thoughts of him? Have you had interactions with him? What are you kind of hearing with the groundswell around Mr. O'Keefe?
Well, one of the easiest jobs to do is to replace a guy who apparently was not well-liked in the locker room. You know, if a team was struggling, but the players said, oh my gosh, we love our coach. We're not playing well, but we love our coach. That's a tough coach to replace, right? But when you realize that these players are feeling a huge measure of freedom that they weren't feeling before, that as they have said almost to a man, you know, there's a joy and there is an enjoyment to our practices and to the environment that we're playing in, that's a really easy thing to step into. And Sheldon Keefe is a super smart guy. And I mean, this may be 100% his style, but he realized, don't go into this locker room and coach these players, treat these players the same way as the last guy because they didn't like him. I'm sure he's being overly nice, overly gentle, overly soft at this point. And I bet you that will change because I've heard about his reputation as a coach, which is there's no blemishes on it at all. But he does have a tougher side to him, I think, than he's shown. So, I like the move. I'm a big believer that in 2019, you got to go with – you got to go with youth. You know, you got a general manager who's 32. You got a coach who's like 37, something like that. So that's like 69, 70 years between them. Lou Lamoriello, the guy that was the general manager, is 77. So you got a young organization that I think now is in sync. The coach and the general manager think the same way. And everybody knew, even though they denied it all the time, everybody knew that Mike Babcock and Kyle Dubas did not see hockey the same way.
Last thing, Michael, because I know you got a role. You are a lifelong Argos fan. I want to know your thoughts on Pinball's return. You don't have a quarterback. You got a coach in limbo. We hear that he's going to be back. Where are you on your boatman, the double blue, as we sit here today?
Well, everybody loves Pinball. The question is, you know, he's such an engaged guy who does a million different things. Like, I find it hard to believe that he's going to be in his office at 10 o'clock at night looking at scouting reports. It seems to me like, and he may prove me wrong, and this is not an insult. I just think there's too many facets of Mike Pinball Clement to say he's going to be dedicated to the position of general manager like other GMs in the Canadian Football League. So that could be an issue. If he hires a great staff, and I think he's got a good assistant general manager, then maybe it will work. I certainly don't love the idea of bringing Corey Chamberlain back. This past year was a disaster, guys. Let me tell you, you know, living in Toronto, the Argos just they've disappeared, and they had this hopeful boost from BMO Field that it would make a difference. People don't care in Toronto. Like the Argos for right now do not exist in the city of Toronto. It's like they're a dead body over there that is still warm. So in theory, you could put you could put the paddles on it and you could juice the body and bring it back to life. But it's still a dead body for now. And right now, the Argos are a dead body. I mean, I hope that changes, but I haven't seen any reason yet to think it will.
Well, for any CFL fan, it hurts. It hurts you to say it. I know that because you're a huge fan. So it's not our issue to deal with. It's the CFLs and the Argos, and I wish them the best. Michael, thanks so much for the insight, as always.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, you said, we'll let you go. I know you're really busy. Not true. I got nothing to do, man. That's you saying, hey, I'm booting you off the show. I got nothing but time. Hold on. It's Rod, right? You're not Doug Peterson, the coach?
Not today. They told me that you had a conference call you had a role for. I'm just going by what I'm told, Michael. And I also know you, Jess. So thank you.
Thanks, guys, for having me. And just final word on Babcock. I judge him. You're not talking to the broadcaster now. You're talking to a guy who has people in his life, right? People who are friends. And I judge Mike Babcock in this conversation only as one thing. And what's he been like to me? And he's been great. I can say I love the guy. That doesn't mean I think that the Leafs were wrong to fire him, but I can safely say Mike Babcock is to me a really good guy.
Really good stuff. Thank you, Michael. I appreciate it. Thank you. Over and out with Michael Landsberg. Some really good stuff there on Mike Babcock and the Argos.
See, those are the things people need to hear.
That's why we're doing it.
Yeah, those are the questions these are the good questions. That's what people need to hear. What's he like behind closed doors? That's another chalk in the good column for him. Here's another question, though. So the rumor is that Babcock's taking all the heat for this. The rumor is that Lou Lamoriello... This was planned. They both knew this. Lamoriello's done this many times in the past, as has Babcock. Where's all the rest of the guys that this has happened to? Or why is...
Players?
Why is Lamoriello not... Now I'm taking Bab's side. So where's...
Well, hang on. You said you were tired of talking about it, so...
Why is Lamoriello... Yeah, now I'm talking about Lamoriello. Why is Lamoriello completely out of this? How come it's all Bab's? Why, if Lamoriello knew the whole time and he was said, okay, go ahead with it, where's Lou?
Well, let me just switch gears for a second. And you bring up a good point on that, but just with the Flames. I mean, Abu yesterday said they're as much at fault for hiring Bill Peters as Bill Peters is if he's guilty of these allegations. And I'll say it again. I'm not confident the Flames are even going to fire him. And if they did, it'll be as much because they suck right now. I think they've lost 7 of 8. And here's an easy excuse to get rid of him if you're looking for a reason to fire somebody.
They're going to.
I read a good article this morning in the Calgary Sun, and it, what was the guy's name? Chris O'Connor or something. Can't remember the writer's name, but he said, this is the buzz of Calgary. Oh, this is our coach. We didn't know that this was our coach. I remember Bill Peters from the Spokane days. I didn't particularly like him. Did you not play in the league when he was in Spokane?
I'm not sure if I did, but that's another coach.
I didn't really care for him there, but how do you guys not know?
Everybody's heard stories about him from Carolina. I was surprised that Calgary was all over. I know he's good buddies
with
the GM, but there was stories coming out of there already that was like, holy man.
Again, I just understood this is like a shock to the whole world. What? Taylor, what do you think about all this?
Well, I mean, guys get hired for their track record, not necessarily on their personality. And it's, hey, what have you done for me lately? Have you won before? Where have you coached and had success? Not necessarily how you handle the people. It's not a background check. They're not necessarily calling references if a guy has a good track record. A lot of the young guys will get reference checks, and they'll call assistant coaches or players when it's their first head coaching job or second. But when a guy's been around for 10 years or that long, or like Babcock's been around or Peters has been around for that long, it's based on the track record. Is this guy a proven winner? What has he done for me lately? Can he lead my team? It's less about the personality of the guy.
I would agree with that. I don't think that the Pats owners, when they went after John Paddock, I doubt that they called a bunch of people and said, how does he treat his workers? How does he? They knew that he was in the NHL. You know, he'd been around the game. Smart hockey guy, good track record. So I would agree with that.
And it worked out.
You talk to your friends and you talk to some respectable people that would be around a guy like that. But when it comes to those high-profile NHL signings, it's
you're not worried about some disgruntled worker in the office that says, oh, they were mean to me one day. You know, like anybody could say that. So it's not,
Mikey Wayne writes in on Facebook, just to remind everybody, we are live on Facebook this morning and rodpeterson.com/listen live. But some of the comments that have come in, Mikey Wayne says public pressure will force the Flames to fire Peters.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, why haven't they yet then? Why hasn't he been fired yet? That's just my answer to that. Captain Harvey Ryder. He's the guy that comes to the games wearing the pirate outfit. Or one of the guys that comes to the game wearing a pirate outfit. He says, good morning, everyone, from North Battleford. Good morning, Captain Harvey. Thanks for joining us here on the shores of the mighty Wascana. We will take a break and continue with this. We never did come up with a good poll question, by the way. Tyler, you were sitting on the sponsor's couch. Did you come up with anything?
Taylor?
You weren't thinking about it. Or Taylor, sorry. Our sales guy, Todd, buzzing around, grinding coffee beans, going to the bathroom, leaving the seat up. Sorry. Taylor, did you come up with a...
No, but I think if you want to relate it to Jason Moss, is where will he resurface again?
And the options should be...
Well, BC, potentially Saskatchewan, Ottawa, or other.
Okay, gotcha.
And not as the head coach in Saskatchewan, obviously.
Interesting what Landsberg said about Chamberlain, too. Yeah. We got so much to get into.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. It is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch the best clips on our YouTube channel.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition, and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Oh yeah, he's back. Time for more of the Rod Peterson Show.
All right, welcome back, everybody, on this Wednesday morning. Thanks for joining us for coffee, Caliber Coffee, here on the Rod Peterson Show. Live from the bunker out here in Western Canada, Jared Dumba's with us in Taylor Shire. What are you smiling about?
Well, I just noticed that your little animated guy,
yeah,
dressed exactly like DuPont today.
Maybe that's why. Yeah,
that's where you got the style idea.
We got a lot of people that are in the bunker for the first time, Jared Dumba being one. How many years pro hockey? About 10 for you?
Yeah, nine and a bit. I say, well, yeah, about nine and a half.
And our director of scouting, better. Taylor Shire, or director of officiating, Taylor Shire, he's not new to the bunker, but the first ladies here, Brenda Hobson, Jim Hobson's wife, she's sitting on the sponsor's couch, and everybody's just like, wow, it is pretty cool in here for sure. So we do have some new people. The reason I was on my phone when we came back from the break is that I'm tweeting the poll question because we had a tough time coming up with it. And it is, where will Jason Moss land next in the CFL? Taylor Shire, our director of officiating, came up with this. And our options are going to be BC, Saskatchewan, Ottawa, or other. And I'm in the middle of tweeting that, but Wayne is watching in Victoria, BC, and he says, Taylor, are you suggesting that he comes to Saskatchewan as offensive coordinator? So while I tweet this, over to you.
It's an option. It's going to be option two for me on that list. With the vacancy of a head coach in BC, I think that's going to be the number one spot where Moss goes, because Ed Hervey is the GM there. Ed Hervey hired him in Edmonton, so I could see him wanting to get Moss back. And if Hervey decides to go elsewhere, there very well could be an offensive coordinator opening in Saskatchewan. Stephen McAdoo was Chris Jones's guy. Now we got to see who's Craig Dickinson's guy and who's Jeremy O'Day's guy. And I think that's, I don't know who their guys are, and maybe McAdoo is their guy and they're going to retain him. But I think that's being in Saskatchewan as the OC is option number two. And then there's the head coaching vacancy in Ottawa as well. So if I'm Jason Moss, I think my number one choice is BC, based on previous relationships there and having Mike Riley there and having Ed Hervey there. But it's whether or not Ed Hervey decides to stand up a contract.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could all just decide that on our own,
exactly, right?
I mean, he needs a dance partner in BC and Ed Hervey. But for those that don't know, Taylor covers the Riders every single day for Global Regina, and you do a lot of good work with us, along with Claire Hanna coming in here and giving us those reports. And so you're around the club every day, and you were in the news conference room, I assume, after the West Final, or all around it that weekend. What was the take on the play calling? Because we're still getting a lot of angst, I guess, and second-guessing of Stephen McAdoo in that game.
In the red zone, they gave William Powell the ball once in 12 opportunities, I believe. But a lot of the credit was being extended to Winnipeg's defensive line because you can't run through them. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to try. And we even saw Hamilton try to run through them. And we saw in the Grey Cup how good Winnipeg's defensive line was. So the Riders were trying to think one step ahead. Okay, how can we beat them as opposed to just pounding the rock through and through? And the Seattle Seahawks did the same thing. But if you you get it right, you're great, right? Amazing play call. But if you don't, then everyone's second guessing you. I still think if you have a running back of that caliber in William Powell, he should get the ball on first down, second down, and then maybe you try something else on third down.
If you're not in,
but yes. when you're doing bringing Brian Bennett and doing the quarterback sneak and the ball goes or the handoff goes the wrong way, I think you stick with what got you to that point on the field. Leave Cody Fajardo in there, and then if he wants to hand off to William Powell, that's fine. But Fajardo can also roll around the edge too. I just think it was poor play calling in the end zone, but that's because they didn't score out of it.
Fireable or not? And the reason I ask
not fireable, but yeah. It doesn't have to be retained. I don't believe he's
That's
under
the same
contract.
Thing.
Well, yes and no. They're not going to outright fire him.
Nicely fired.
It, nicely fired.
Not retained.
You know, it depends on how you want to word it.
And but it's all yeah. up to... If he's Craig Dickinson's guy and they have the same philosophies and they've it's not going to be he's not going to be based on his lack of play calling or play calling in the Western Final. He's going to be judged on what has he done the last 2 years. Or
well, then he
years.
Should be kept.
Exactly. So Dickinson is going to look back and say, okay, well, obviously our quarterback led the league in passing. We had 28 touchdowns. He was a good play caller for us.
But if they don't renew his contract, he was fired.
I don't think so.
I do. Well, and no. We'll get into that. Well, actually, we can bring in our next guest, and we'll tell our guests on the couch. You can put the headphones on there on the sponsor's couch if you want to listen to this. Rich Sutter, we're going to bring him in on video chat of the Columbus Blue Jackets and Rogers Sportsnet. Good morning, Richie. How are you?
I'm great. How are you guys?
Good. We're good. Hey, if you don't have your contract renewed, you are fired, right? Is that not? That's the way I understand it.
Well, I don't know how the CFL works, you guys, but I do know, like, in our league, if your contract's renewed, that just basically means you're walking. And honestly, people read into it differently. Some people say you're fired. Well, how are you fired if you don't have a contract? You know, your contract's expired. You walk, or else they allow you to walk. So that I don't think that technically tells you're fired because they're just not renewing it. I guess it's however you want to say it. That happened to my brother Dwayne in Edmonton this fall. He never had a contract, and he knew he didn't have a contract all summer, and the team kept deciding whether or not they wanted to renew him or let him walk. And at the end of the day, they let him walk. And then Mark Spector came out and said, well, he was fired. And I said, well, how the hell are you fired? You don't have a contract. You know, so I don't know. I guess it's however people want to put it, in either a negative or a positive monotone. It's how the world works these days. We all know that.
Yeah, it's wording, it's semantics, it's parting ways, whatever. Look, it's been a wild week in hockey. I want your take on the firing of Mike Babcock and the subsequent fallout since, if you don't mind.
You know, it's been a difficult week. It's been a bothersome week, to be honest with you, to have, and let's start with Babs. I mean, here's a guy who's a great coach, and he, I've known him since I was 21, 22 years old. We roomed together at training camp in Vancouver when he was trying to turn pro as a player, and I've had a relationship with him for a lot of years. He's rode some very good hockey teams with some very good athletes and very good hockey players. And good for him, but he was able still to manage these people and kind of guide them to Stanley Cups, to World Championships, World Cups. He's been very successful, and I think he did a major, major part in turning the Leafs organization around to what's expected on a day-to-day basis and how to basically win. Sometimes you got to do certain things right or wrong or different to motivate people, to change people, to get people to buy in. There's so many variables that go into this thing that on a team-to-team basis that from an outside, it just looks so easy, but it's truly not, you guys. It's a difficult thing, and I'm just disappointed for him that he doesn't get to see it through. Because I think he had that team turned around, and they can say what they want. These guys are paid multiple millions of dollars to perform. And if you think that you have to go sit on a bench or go play in a building and be an entertainer and think that the guy behind you is affecting your play for the amount of money you're making, I think you're off your rocker. Go play. You play for your teammates first and foremost. You play for your families. You play for your loved ones. Come on. I played this game and been around long enough that you got to be a motivated human being yourself first and foremost, regardless of whatever's going on around you or behind you should not dictate that much in your life as a player how you perform when you're making that kind of money. does it look like it's the right move? I think it is probably looking like that right now in Toronto. But let's be honest, Mike Babcock signed a long-term contract for an exorbitant amount of money. And from the time he signed, almost from the time he signed, you guys, the mandate in Toronto was always, oh, we're bringing this guy in, this Sheldon Keefe guy. He's going to be the guy we're grooming, and he's going to be the next coach. Well, do you think Sheldon Keefe's going to wait around for 6 or 8 years to get an NHL job somewhere else because he's grooming for the job in Toronto? So the writing was on the wall from day one that Mike Babcock might never be there through 4 or 5, 6 years. And I think that turned out to be true. And let's be honest, that's how it played out. For the last 3 years, I've been saying, well, Sheldon Keefe's the next guy. He's the next guy. Well, try coaching and working with people, and that's being said a lot of the time. It's not an easy thing to do. So I just didn't like how that played out, but that's their business. We have our own worries with our own hockey club and how we perform and how we keep things to ourselves. But, and then for the last part of the question, or your comment to me, Rod, yeah, it's been a difficult 48 hours, I believe, for a lot of people. I can't imagine what's going through Bill's mindset right now and how things have played out. It's not easy. We all know there's no place in the game for any kind of language or however you want to put that towards your athletes, towards the performers, the people have to perform. I was a young player at one time, and hey, you know, things happen. You get spoken to in a lot of different ways that you're not going to like, you don't agree with, and you have to try and play through it. It's happened to a lot of players. So I wouldn't say, and don't quote me on that as a negative tone, but things get said. Times have changed. You can't do that, and you should never have been able to do that at any stage in a person's career where it was back 60, 70, 80s, 90s, whatever. But let's be honest, you got to believe that those things have happened to multiple times at multiple sources. And I just think the timing of it, how it's came out, has been very unusual, strange. But again, at the same time, someone's getting something off their chest that they felt that they should have done a long time ago. And it takes a big man or a big person to do that. And so now we wait and see where this falls and where things will fall, I would assume very soon, the next day or so.
Have you, just lastly, have you spoken to your brother Brian or Daryl in the last 10 days since we are all together in Paradise Hill, Saskatchewan?
No, but I heard some stories from little birds in the sky. So I'm not sure how it went, but I just hope that they did keep Brian off. I gave him the clock, and when the time was up, they threw him off the stage.
Brian was totally fine. Brian was hilarious, but Daryl and I got in a huge argument over exactly what you're talking about right now. He thinks that Don Cherry should be able to say whatever he wants for as long as he wants forever, because everything he's done for hockey and for the military and for Canada. And I said, Daryl, it's not like that anymore. You can't say whatever you want. And it went back and forth, and they're still talking about it up there. So I want, because I got down here and people are saying, did you call Rich and tell him about what his brother said? I said, you think Rich doesn't know? I was going to call you, but I thought I'll be talking to you at some point.
I'm going to see Daryl tomorrow, and I will ask him how was his trip to Saskatchewan, and did you get a chance to sit down and visit with Rod Peterson? And I'll let him take the cue from there. I'm not surprised what Daryl said. I quite frankly don't agree with him. We live in such an incredible country and have such diverse cultures. And I think, yeah, there's some things we don't agree with about how some things work. But it is what it is. And I think I've learned over the years that life's too short. You're on this planet to be a good human being and to treat people how you want to be treated. I think that's how you stay ahead and get ahead to begin with. And be happy. And I think if you have those things in your life, in your health, you're way further ahead. It's not about being outspoken and getting your face in front of a camera and letting the world know about what your feelings are that might be right, wrong, or indifferent. But some people have their way of doing some things, and we don't always have to agree with it, but that's the way it is.
Absolutely. Rich, great chat as always. Let's do it again soon.
Great, you guys. I'm in rainy, stormy Southern California where it's supposed to, well, it's raining now and I'm supposed to go over the mountain passes to a game tonight, which I'm kind of scared about doing. They're talking about 12 inches of snow, 25 miles north of Los Angeles. So guess I got to figure out what my day is going to be like.
I think you should get on the road early then. All right. Drive safe, Richie. Keep in touch.
Okay, you bet, guys. All the best. Take care.
Rich Sutter from Southern California. My goodness, I thought he was in his living room in Lethbridge, Alberta. That's kind of what it looked like, didn't it?
A little bit.
So I don't really know where to go with that, guys, and we don't have a lot of time left here in hour one. You're sticking with us, right, Taylor?
Yeah, I'll be
Talk football with Jim Hompson in hour two. But Jared, I know you had your finger up to talk with Rich, but we didn't quite slide it in there. What was the point that you wanted
to make? Well, I was just going to say, like, it's now it's kind of going, like, the bad things that people do and the stuff, the Bill Peters and stuff, like, that's absolutely horrible. I just hope that this isn't going to lead to every single story. I mean, I could sit here and tell you 10 stories off the top of my head where I think that I was wronged or somebody coach did something bad, thinking he was going to get the best out of me. I just hope that this doesn't keep running on and on and on about every little thing that happened to every single person. But the big stuff, those people should have, you know, have the courage to come out. So those things are fine, but it seems like, you know, you get on the social media and everything like that, and it just starts to get watered down, and you start to lose the message from the real happenings, right? All of a sudden, my coach, you know, benched me for no reason for 2 months, and I think I would have been in the NHL if he didn't do that. You know, it's like, you can't, like, let's, you know, there's things that are bad, and there's things that are just now you're whining.
Well, oh, boy, Todd Olson just wrote in and said, I wish Jared had enough time to talk Pats and Saskatchewan Dub teams. I'm glad you brought that up, Todd. Just before you go, and by the way, we have a gift card for you from The Tap, where we had a wonderful lunch yesterday, Regina's only drive-through beer and wine store. Your take on the Sask Dub teams in 90 seconds or less, because it hasn't been a great year.
Well, you know, it hasn't been a great couple of years, but PA, all of a sudden PA's at the top, and everybody's saying, thank God for PA. Well, where was PA for the 5-6 years before that? There's always going to be transition. You got the Pats were at the top of the league for 2-3 years in a row. Moose Jaw was the number one in the country and top of the league for 2-3 years. Swift Current was at the top of the league for a couple of years. Brandon was good for
ever.
40 years, you know, so, I mean, how spoiled do you get? It's been a couple of years, and all these draft picks and everything that they're accumulating, all the young guys, next year, the year after, all of a sudden, everybody's going to be going, wow, Saskatchewan's the place where hockey lives, because look,
we have back-to-back WHL champions, Swift Current and PA, by the way.
Yeah,
they're reigning too.
Yeah, exactly. So I mean, it's
not forget.
I don't think it's bad. It's that teams are going through a rebuild, and you have to do that. You have to sell the farm if you're going to be hosting the Memorial Cup or trying to go like Swift Current did, and we got treated to a few years of unbelievable hockey. We couldn't believe it. Every night we went to the rink was just an unbelievable game every time. Now you still have some good games. It's not that level. You don't have the Adams Brooks and the Sam Steeles right now, but you're seeing the 15, 16, 17 year olds in the system that are going to become those type of guys. And there's hope for the future, but you can't be the top of the league every single year.
No, you can't.
So just be patient.
As you say, the last three WHL finals have featured Swift Current, well, PA, Swift Current, Regina.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, how's hockey in Saskatchewan?
Yeah.
Just fine.
So can we welcome you back as our hockey insider?
I'd love to. Anytime.
All right. Our director of officiating, Taylor Shire, staying with you. Like that? I like it a lot.
Sure, it works.
Staying with us in hour two. Jim Hobson will join the bunker. It is the Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast wherever you catch your favorite podcasts.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Our biggest sale of the year has returned. The greatest auto sale is back at
Capital GMC. We have over 1,000 new and used vehicles to choose from with savings up to $17,000. And for a limited time, we're offering finance rates as low as 0% on new and used vehicles. Buy or lease a new or used vehicle during the Greatest Auto Sale for your chance to win your payments for a whole year. Run down, walk down, bust down, or fly down. Just get yourself down to Capital's Greatest Auto Sale.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. Snow Beef is the result of crossbreeding full-blood Wagyu males with Holstein females. Much like a fine wine, when given the proper care and diet, the Snow Beef genetics develop superior marbling and flavor. The culmination of these efforts is the best beef you can get in Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Some of the challenges we face with the CT technology that we have today is some of the deficiencies in around integration with some of our other systems. The addition of two new 4D simulators within the programming of the Saskatchewan Cancer Agency is going to have significant impact on you know, the care we provide to the people of Saskatchewan.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.